books. Big books, number seven. Number seven in the big five books.
Yeah.
if you're not. Come on, then we went and made fun. Right. 35 minutes.
Stephen's reading this from Titus chapter 3. Epistle of Paul to Titus chapter 3. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak the evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Saviour, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regenerating and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Saviour, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. These things I will let thou affirm constantly, and they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolishness, questions, and genealogies, and contentions, and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second abomination, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemis unto thee, to Titus, be diligent to come unto me in Nicopolis, where I have determined there for winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer and the populace on that journey, and diligently, that nothing be warning unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that ye be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen.
Any prayer requests? Nobody got anything out of the ordinary? Hopefully not out of it. Nothing out of the ordinary. Any good news or any thanks? It's definitely a no news is good news sort of an evening. Yes, Mrs. B.
I'm glad
to hear that. Glad to hear that. I was going to say I'm better too, and just to prove I'm going to blow my nose. And Norm's going to cough. Like you'll have to make some noise as well. Sneeze, somebody sneeze. Amen. I think I have everybody down for, has anybody got any private prayer requests? Anything different? You okay, Krista? Amen. Okie doke. Please do continue to pray for David King and his family. Do continue to pray also for Holly and Emily and Henry. Those are Steve's grandkids. They are coming along. I think they're pretty much going to be ready to go back to business as usual. I think they were, what's the word? They were in close proximity to someone with COVID. So they were, I don't know how a 12-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a 1-year-old can isolate at home, but they were doing it. So please do pray for them and their mommy and daddy and their big brother and sister as well. Frank got here and he got home and he got home and he got back to London again. So home and away. That's good news, safe and sound. Can't think of anything else, right? Is there anything else we need to be thinking about? In about 10 days' time, we're going to be starting work out in the entryway, replacing walls and fixing bathrooms and one thing and another, so we'd appreciate your prayers for that. Please do bear that in mind. Unfortunately, because of a bad head cold that I had and then Monica had, we were a bit prolaxed and everything was just put back. Some other good news, my dad went to visit the eye doctors in the hospital and he was officially discharged from their care. They're very happy with the way his surgeries went, so we're very pleased about that. Anything? Anybody got anything else? Right, that's that. And I certainly can't think of anything else this evening. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song or two. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for just this freedom to come before you, Lord. For the freedom we have to meet together, for the freedom we have to, even in these dark days, to speak your word, to preach and to teach, and to apply it to our lives, Lord, to make your rules our rules. And I pray, Father, at this time that you would work in our hearts and minds, that you would cleanse us and refresh us. You would forgive us, Lord, that you would weed out all those things that are not pleasing to you. You would shine a light on them, Lord. And Lord, that we know that you've given us the wherewithal to deal with them, and I pray, Father, just bring them to our attention. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit whenever you saved us, Lord. Forgive us the strength and the wherewithal, and Lord, the promise that should it even be something that feels like the pulling out of a right eye or the cutting off of a right arm or a right leg, that you have something 100 times better for it in this place. Lord, we just love you and thank you. We pray especially for our countries, for China, for America, for Britain, for Ireland, Lord, for Canada at this particular time, especially, Lord, down in Australia and New Zealand direction. There's so much going on. Pray for Russia and Ukraine, for Europe, Lord, for Africa, Mexico. Lord, the whole world is in such a mess. I know they're just waiting for one man to stand up with the solution. I know, Lord, folks are that stupid, Lord, when they get in big groups that they would literally worship the Antichrist. I pray, Father, please, in these last of the last days, that you would still work in people's hearts and minds, and that you would greatly convict them of their behavior and of the things that they're up to. Please bless us, Lord, as we spend this time in your presence and around your word. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, for Frank getting safely home and then safely back to London again, for looking after my dad as far as the eye surgeries went, for Steve's grandkids getting better. I just pray for the King family at this time too, for Charlotte and for Colin. Pray for Pat and Steve as well, for Will. Lord, just please work in our hearts and minds. Work in their hearts and minds. Lord, for those that have been and gone, I pray, Father, for your good hand upon them as well, that even at this late stage, that you would restore them to fellowship with you, to walking and talking with you. We really do need you, Lord, and I pray your good hand upon us this evening. Pray, Father, as we spend the time around your word, that you would spend time with us. Lord, if we need an arm around us, if we need a comfort, I pray that you would supply that. If we need a chastening, Lord, I pray that you would supply that. Lord, we're always in need of wisdom, and I pray that you would supply that this evening, Lord. But please, I pray, please supply our daily bread. We love you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, for watching out for us. Please be with especially Esther and Pat and Steve at this time. And Lord, we love you and praise you, and we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Not forgetting the Jews, Lord. Please bless their country. Amen. Right, let's take a big fat books again. If you would, take and turn to hymn number 29, At the Cross. Hymn number 29, We'll Remain Seated As We Sing. We'll sing one more and then we'll open our hymn books, our Bibles. 132. I haven't sung this one for a bit either, but it's a good one. 132 is never alone. If you're able, stand as we sing.
Oh,
different verses. Amen. Right. You can take those hymn books and put them to one side for a little bit. Take your Bibles out. We're still in the book of Luke. We're in Luke chapter 13 this evening. And I want to spend a minute or two just on the subject of, are you as smart as a chicken? Are you as smart as a chicken? Amen. I'm hoping and praying. Sounds like a crazy title. I think you'll know which verses we're going to be using as our text whenever we get there. We're going to begin reading verse 31. Only four or five verses and then we're done. Amen. Same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk to them tomorrow, and the day follow, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I bet you can't guess which verse we're taking as our text to say. Yes, it is one of those verses. Number 34, where the Lord, I don't know if he cried out, but he just said, he sounded very resigned, I'm sure, when he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. Amen. Christy, would you mind just praying for us, brother, if you would, please?
This day, for new mercies, for your goodness, Lord, for the privilege of prayer, Lord, for walking with us every step in this life, for your promise that you never leave us, nor forsake us. Guide me in the service, I pray that you speak the hearts that you build up, Lord, and strike down where we need struck down, Lord, if you would comfort and lift up, Lord, as well, that you would give guidance to each heart and mind here, Lord, you remember those that couldn't be here for whatever reason. Sicknesses in their homes, Lord, I pray a touch for them. For those that are spirits that cast in as well, and fight and sign the battles, I pray, Lord, a victory tonight for them as well, according to your will. Save the lost in our city, Lord, amongst our friends and family as well. Help us to shine with your light. Just in the spot that they needed, shown, Lord, the shoe on the cross. Lord, we do thank you for Jesus, Lord, for your word, and all that you do for us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Are you as smart as a chicken? I hope that would be an answer that you could give without thinking too hard about it. But I hope and pray by the time we get to the end of the message, you'll be able to say yes. But anyway, let's have a quick look at this chapter. Sometimes you need to read the verse before, or maybe even the chapter before and the chapter after to get the right context. But without going into too much detail, from the very start to the end of this chapter, about two-thirds of it is the quoted words of Jesus Christ. The words in red, there's 35 verses, about 21, I think, are actually Jesus' quoted words. And as he opens up in this portion of God's Word, he's talking about the uncertainty of life. You can't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And he mentions the Galileans that were killed by, I think it was, Pilate. He mentions the others that were killed whenever the Tower of Siloam fell on them. And he speaks, you know what, you cannot know what's going to happen tomorrow, but you can know them, the God that has tomorrow in the palm of his hand. And that's what he's saying. There is a certainty in judgment. There is a certainty of an eternity either in heaven or hell, but there's no certainty in this life. At the risk of sounding very morbid, not one of us could put our hand in our heart and say we will see our beds tonight, because we don't know. We assume We trust, we hope, but we can't know for certain. We can know the God that gave his life for us on the cross of Calvary. And if we just trust in that, it's not going to matter. But anyway, the Lord's talking to the disciples, the apostles, and anybody else that will listen. And he mentions about the uncertainty of life. And given that God does give you some time in this life, he goes on to speak about the long but not forever suffering of the Lord, using the parable of the fig tree that hasn't produced any fruit for a year or two, that's sitting in a man's vineyard and he's for turfing it out, but the vine dresser goes about and says, Lord, give it another chance. The Lord doesn't want us doing nothing in this life. This world is on its knees tonight because people are doing nothing in this life. People are sitting watching things done and doing lots of talking about it, but they're not producing anything. They're not improving their lot or the lots of those around about them. And the Lord says, well, I expect my children to emulate their big brother. I expect them to toe the line, to have a love for the lost and, of course, for the brethren. And the last words, of course, that he said were to go forth into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the Lord said, I'm patient. We all know he's patient because if he wasn't, we wouldn't be here. But I expect something out of you in this life. So, that little parable just tells us he is expecting something out of us in this life. And if there's something that you can do for the Lord, by all means, do it. If you haven't been doing anything for the Lord, well, go and ask him. He's more approachable than I am. And he will, goodness, like any father, like any parent, he wants to hear from his children. Just ask him, is there anything that he would have you to do? And he will give you the thing that you are perfectly fitted for. Anyway, moving on, he also mentions or shows us about the hypocrisy of the religion of the day. These men that walk around in their nice robes and they say holy things, but they're hypocrites. And the Lord mentioned that many, many times. Even whenever he loosed a woman that was bowed over, she was all bent over, but bent over for what did she say? What did he say? 18 years. And they got bent out of shape whenever the Lord healed her on the Sabbath day. And I know there was one other instance where he was healing on the Sabbath day, and they started to get really upset and uptight, and the Lord called them hypocrites, because even if a man had an ox or an animal that fell into a pit, they would lift it out on the Sabbath day, and why shouldn't this woman be released from Satan on the Sabbath day? Basically, showing the powerlessness of dead religion. Can't help anyone, not even those that are playing by the rules. And he goes on then to speak in the parable of the mustard seed. He goes on to tell us that the Christian life is a rewarding life. It is a fulfilling life and a contenting life. It is a satisfactory life. It can certainly be full of thrills and spills as you contend for souls, as you seek out God's will, and it can be full of very interesting happenings, miracles even, if you will stay the course and walk the path that God has set out for you. The grain of the mustard, it talks about the mustard bush. It says it's the tiniest of grains, but it grows into a great tree, and all the other trees have birds and bugs in them and fruit on them and seeds and things on them, and the mustard tree is the same. Eventually, it'll grow to a point where the birds will come and make their nests in it, the bugs will be in it, and it will produce its seeds from which people get mustard. Christian life is the same. It might start differently, might even look a bit different, but it'll still have all the things that a tree will have. Marriage, a mate, children, friends, family, a purpose. And whenever you get to the end of it, a life of no regrets, that's something that the world can't promise. Anyway, as we, as we move on, we see that the Lord talks about judgment. And he uses the parable of people coming to a man's house whenever it's far too late, knocking to get in, and him saying, I don't know you. Verses 24, 25, 26, and 27, and 28, 29, and 30. There is a time whenever it's far too late. Many people talk, especially in the Catholic Church, but also in some of the other churches in the world, that the things that you do down here can affect the eternity of people that have stepped off into it. They can't. The only one person can affect your eternity is you. You're the one with all the power in the world, with all the decision making and the authority in your life to either accept Christ as your Savior and do things His way, or to reject them. Once judgment comes, once, as the Bible says, you die, as it's pointed unto man, wants to die and then the judgment, it's too late to change anything. You need to make sure you're in the house with the Master, that you're one of the virgins that had the oil in her lamps, that you're one of the guests that had his wedding robes on, and that you have been received into the wedding party. There is a time and a place for every soul to accept or reject Jesus Christ. And you need to make the right decision. Anyway, it should be an encouragement to us to reach out to loved ones, to neighbours, to friends, etc., etc. Knowing these things, hearing these things, understanding them, and being reminded of them. I'm only being a good preacher, the Bible tells me, if I keep reminding the folks about these things, I'll be a good servant of God, so I have discharged my duty well. And then, of course, as we move on, we have a very real example of how the world, the flesh, and the devil loves to treat people that preach the gospel. You get the finger pointed at you. You get threatened. We know many, many times, and not just in this chapter, that scribes and the Pharisees were even planning to kill Jesus and the disciples. And I would love to know how that was known, but I would say almost certainly that some of those scribes and Pharisees, maybe the likes of Nicodemus, was party to those at one time and lent his experience. That time, whenever Jesus said that to those scribes and Pharisees, they had actually a plan in place to kill him. And the disciples wrote it into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And of course, we have our challenge. Are you as smart as a chicken? Now, if you talk about raising chickens in this day and age, immediately people think you walk around with a pair of dungarees and a straw hat and a pair of wellies chewing a bit of straw. But 2,000 years ago, and maybe even not that very long ago, I would say maybe most houses had a half a dozen, and maybe more, chickens. Enough to lay enough eggs for their family. There might even have been 15 or 20. There was always eggs on the go. We know that the people of the day ate eggs. Because remember the Lord speaking to the scribes and Pharisees and said, if any of your children asked you for an egg, would you give them a scorpion? He says, of course you wouldn't. You'd give your kids good stuff. I'm sure they ate the chickens as well. Chickens are not renowned for being the most intelligent of birds. In fact, if you're called a chicken, it normally means you're a coward. You have a big yellow streak down your back, like chicken feathers. They're kept in a pen, they're kept locked in, and they're happy just to stay there and to eat whatever's thrown in, and sometimes even each other. And whether they're locked in a box or they're allowed to run free, they'll just do whatever it is that chickens do. They will eat, feed, they will run about, they will cluck, and they will lay eggs. They will always run for their lives whenever a predator appears. The rooster doesn't stand by and protect his chickens. He runs. They will eat each other. I have seen chickens when I had to cull a couple of roosters. I have seen the other rooster go over and give them a hiding when I've shot them. They don't care. They will abandon their own eggs. They will even eat their own eggs without a moment's thought. And in this day and age, they are cultivated in the tens of thousands at a time in big chicken houses to feed our desire to have chicken. Whether it's fresh chicken, Kentucky fried chicken, country fried chicken, whether it's rotisserie chicken, a frozen chicken, chicken nuggets, chicken goujons, whatever it is, they're offered by the millions to feed us. They're pretty much at the bottom of the food chain, bar a few bugs. And just about everything loves to eat chickens. My cats have been eyeing my chickens up a lot of late, and I literally this evening, before church, had to chase two of them out of the chicken pen. And to be honest with you, I think they're doing their job eating mice, but I could stand with one less cat, and if I found their paw in an egg, I would get rid of it. They're not the smartest creature in the world. But there is one part of a chicken's life where it does display an amazing amount of, will we call it intelligence or will we call it instinct? Whenever it comes to little chickens, chicks, chickens, hens lay eggs all the time. They lay one egg a day. A lot of the big firms will keep the chickens in a closed-in warehouse. They'll keep it heated, they'll keep them fed, they'll keep them watered, and they'll shorten the day to about 16 hours, if they can, or maybe even less, and try and get the chicken cycle up to the point where it's laying 10 eggs a week, or 12 eggs a week, instead of just 6 or 7. But sometimes a hen will get broody and it'll want to sit on eggs. And it'll not just be its own eggs, there'll be a bunch of eggs there from all the chickens. And what it does, it stops laying eggs, and it cuts down on its eating and drinking because it's not producing an egg every day. And it'll just sit on the eggs. Every day it'll turn those eggs over, because if you don't turn the eggs, the little chicks, their backs will stick to the top of the egg. And whenever they hatch, that part of the chick will never grow feathers. In other words, it'll probably die of hypothermia or something along the lines anyway. The chicken turns the eggs twice a day, maybe more. And it'll do that for 28 days. The last couple of days, it just leaves them just before they hatch. And whenever the little chicks hatch, the mother hen shows them what to eat, and that's what they eat. And the mother hen shows them where to go and drink, and that's what they drink. And the mother hen, it's a strange thing about little chicks. When they have no feathers, they can't actually regulate their body heat. If it gets too hot, they'll just drop. If it gets too cold, they'll freeze to death. So what happens whenever it gets cold? They dive underneath the mother hen. And the mother hen will fluff out her feathers, and she'll make space for all the little chicks underneath her, and she will keep them warm if it gets too cold. And if it gets too hot, the little chicks will hide themselves under their mother's wings for shade from the heat. And they just keep doing that until they can regulate their own body temperature. And even then, they will still go to their mother. And whenever they're out, they'll stay close to their mother. Because if they don't, a predator will get them. Maybe a magpie will come down and lift the little chick and fly off with its very own version of country fried chicken. That seems pretty smart. And you would think that an animal that starts its life so auspiciously would get better as it gets older. But they don't. There's such a thing as a pecking order that comes from chickens again. And the one that gets pecked on the most is the one at the bottom of the pile. And the ones that do the pecking are the ones at the top of the pile. And chickens seem to regress whenever they grow up into adults. And we get likened to a lot of things in the Bible. We get likened to dogs. We get likened to sheep, to wolves. And here we are likened to chicks. And this is a picture of God as the mother hen, of us as the chicks. and how he wants to provide for us. The Lord was saying here about his efforts over the previous 3,000-4,000 years to guide and protect and to feed and provision his people. He even said, how many wise men did I say? Again, this is just tying in with the other parable of the vineyard that was let out to husbandmen, and after a while the owner sent a servant to get some rent, and they treated him very badly and kicked him out. And then eventually they killed a few, and he said, they will reverence my son. And he sent his son, and this, of course, is his son speaking, telling the world exactly what was going on in God's mind. He said, how many times did I send you prophets? How many times did I send people to you to point you in the right direction? To bring you under my auspices, and you would not. The Lord wants to give us the milk and meat of his word. And that doesn't mean that he wants to make sure we have a copy of the King James Bible in our bookshelf. He wants to make sure we have a copy of the King James Bible in our hearts and minds. We are supposed to eat this word and make it part of our lives. What did he say? To the devil of all people, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Whenever it comes to something to drink, to water, did the Lord not say that streams of living water will pour out of your belly whenever you get saved, whenever you're living for me, God said. From God to you, and from you to those that you speak to. He offers us shelter as well. Protection from so many things. From drama. There's a lot of people involved in a lot of drama. In fact, there's people that can't even get from one end of the day to the other unless they've caused trouble. They don't think a day is complete unless they've caused mischief. The Lord wants to protect us from that. We don't need that. The Lord wants to save us from so much. Did you know I was saved from a drug overdose today? Did you know I was saved from a hangover today? Did you know I was saved from getting a sexually transmitted disease today? You're saying, that's amazing. How did God do that? He did that by giving me the wisdom to stay away from all of those stupid things. People think that deliverance that the Lord gives us is like a troop of angels with huge flaming swords that will suddenly appear from us and pull us out of a drug den just as we're about to inject heroin into our veins or crack or whatever it is. Just as we're about to spend the night in a stranger's bed, that we will supernaturally be transported back to our own houses. It's not the way it works. The Lord gives us the wisdom in his word when he says that wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. When he says that a strange woman, or indeed a strange man, is like a deep ditch. When he says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and him that defileth it, God will destroy. When he says to us, abstain from the very appearance of evil. Those are the things that will protect you from the filth and the mire and the dangers and the disease of this world. And that's what God means by eating the right things and drinking the right things. He offers us that protection. But you know what happens to even those Christians, would you believe, that stray out from under God's wings, from under his protection? They run into the same problem as everybody else, and probably even worse. Because the Lord will allow the world, the flesh, and the devil to work their worst upon that soul. And maybe it'll knock some sense into them. Same things that happens to little chicks, they'll die. will freeze to death because they're on their own with no encouragement and no Christian fellowship. They will burn up. They'll be eaten by a predator, and we all know about that predator. What does the Bible talk about? Our adversary, the devil, who walks around like a predator, a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The Lord says these things is not something you learn in Sunday school and you're set up for life, and they will save you from anything and any situation you get into. The Word of God says we are not to tempt the Lord our God. We should not step out into the road knowing that we're saved and going to heaven, and thinking that God is going to lift us over the car that's just about to hit us and set us safely on the other side of the road. It doesn't work like that. God gives you the wisdom to stop at the side of the road and to check the road. The good sense to do it. There are so many places that a Christian can fall. Money can cause a fall. Chasing of pleasures can cause a Christian to fall. Alcohol, drugs, thrills and spells, all of those things can whip the feet out from underneath even a Christian and cause them to fall flat on their face. The question is a Christian, are you smart as a chick? And to stay close to your Savior, even whenever you get your own feathers. Will you continue to eat the right food and drink the right water? Will you continue to stay with the crowd? That's why you get flocks of chickens. Will you continue to stay on your hands and knees? Will you continue to learn what the Bible says to you? Do you know how many times I have read the parable of the grain of mustard? And many times I always said to the Lord, Lord, what exactly does that mean? And I kept knocking away at it and chipping away at it until one day I thought, that makes sense. Thank you, Lord. Will you continue to chip away at the King James Bible? Will you continue to grow in Christ? Will you continue to learn from him what is right and what's wrong? I know I'm hoping and praying not just us here in the church, but all of God's children are smarter than chicken. But you know what? I would have to scratch my head a few times. Just like there are certain critters love to eat chickens. Not just us. Foxes, owls. I remember one day having 12 chicks, and I thought, this is great. I didn't have to turn them in the incubator. I didn't have to keep putting water into the incubator. I didn't have to keep checking the incubator. Twice a day for a month, chicken sat in a dozen eggs and they all hatched. I thought, this is great. And then one day I looked out and there were 10. Just like that. The wee chicks were able to slip out through the wire and they would have a wee run about, and one day a magpie got a couple. Or a crow. And that was that. We need to be careful. We need to be at least as smart as a baby hen. Because if not, you'll just be consumed. And you know the world will do that. If you're prepared to admit that God is right and you're wrong, and again, that's one of those things we don't have to be saying that every day. We don't have to admit that we're wrong every day, because we might not be. We might have been following God. But we just stay with the Lord and depend upon him. There'll be hope for us yet. And then we'll be able to proudly say, I am as smart as a chicken. At least a baby one sticking close to its mommy. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Appreciate your indulgence. Amen. Let's sing a song. I think I have one more marked. There we go. And number 4, The Way of the Cross Leads Home. Your foot will stand as we sing. sure tonight, but there you go. Thank you very much for your good time. God bless you. Don't forget our absent friends and brethren. We need prayers too. Don't forget each other. Let's close our eyes and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this little break from the world. Bless us as we part company, and please see us safely home. Please remind us, Lord, continually. Please convict us daily. And Lord, I pray that we would lean in you and not in our own understanding, and we know and trust, because you have said that you will guide our paths. Bless our absent brothers and sisters, Lord. I pray that you would work in their lives. You would deliver to them what they need day by day. And Lord, we look forward to meeting up with them again at the next appointed time. Bless us and keep us, Lord, I pray, and please save souls. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Folks, dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands. Fellowship for a rest.